I started last Sunday teaching on the subject of speaking with other tongues. And I shared some things there, and we're going to continue with that today. And last week I was just sharing about the, how to receive and the conditions under which you do receive. One has to position themselves properly to be in a place to receive the Holy Ghost. And we were explaining about being receiving eternal life and receiving a well of water by the Holy Ghost, or the new birth. And then we were also talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost and rivers of living water flowing out of us. So there's two different experiences, but the water is the same. And the water referring to the Holy Spirit, the water's the same, but the experience is different. One is the new birth, and one is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we were sharing those things, and we'll just kind of highlight those. Some of you were here, some of you weren't, but we'll just quickly go through that. And then today, what I want to do is pick up, you know, God gave us the Holy Ghost for a purpose. You know, God never does anything just to be doing. And so it says that you will be filled with power when you receive the Holy Ghost. You'll be endued with power. That word, and we'll look at that, that word power, it means to be filled or to be endued with miraculous power. So we're filled with miraculous power, and there's a purpose, and I would say there's a value, you could say, another word, there's a value to being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And we're going to go through and look at a few of those today, just quickly look at what is the value of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know in Jude 20, it says, beloved, it says praying in the Holy Ghost, or it says building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we can edify and build ourselves up. That's one way. And then there's some other reasons, other points that we'll look at. But one of the first values, I guess, would be that it's an evidence. It's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Because if you didn't have that evidence, how would somebody know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? There's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is speaking with other tongues. So I look at this in where we are today. And you look at all of the things that we face in life, and we have the greater one living on the inside of us that can assist us. He's a comforter. He's a helper. And he can assist us and help us in this walk that we have. And one way he can help us is by praying, assisting us in prayer. When we don't know how to pray as we ought, the scripture says, he can assist us. He helps us, it says, with our infirmities, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. He assists us. And so if he assists us to help us pray and pray the perfect will of God, wouldn't you think he can also assist us as we pray in the Holy Ghost? When I'm faced with something, he can, as I pray in the Spirit, he gives me wisdom and understanding how to address that problem. So to me, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe in 14, we ought to be praying more in the Spirit, because it says that when I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. That just means it doesn't bear something. Some of the scripture says it means that I'm blank. It doesn't produce any fruit. My mind isn't working on this. It isn't thinking. But my spirit is praying. So that means to me, I can be working thinking with my mind, that's bearing fruit. That's doing something. But I can also be praying in the Spirit at the same time. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I can be going along, working, thinking, and praying at the same time. I can be praying in the Spirit and edifying myself, building myself up. So as I face, you know how some of us are when we forget to pray in the Spirit while we go through our day and we're mentally working all day long, we get home and feel like I just ran through a troop. I need to lay down. Why? Because you're mentally fatigued. But you can build yourself up spiritually. You know, your spirit is more powerful than your mind, isn't it? Your spirit is more powerful. It is the real you. So your spirit can be edified and help you through the day. So as we're working, you know, I'm training myself because you know how we are. We get going and we're working and you look up and you say, man, I haven't been praying. I haven't been praying in the Spirit. So you have to discipline yourself to stop and say, I'm praying. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. So you have to discipline yourself that as you're working, you can pray in the Spirit. And especially if somebody's not doing something that's mental. If you're driving a truck, my God, or a car, you're going back and forth to home, back and forth. That's what I do. When I drive up here, it's an hour and a half. I'm not just kind of looking at the scenery. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time up. Praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time back. That's an hour and a half. So things that we have, blocks of time that we have, we can pray in the Spirit more. Amen. So last week, let me just kind of run through this real quick here. Of course, we read Jude 1:20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that didn't say that faith comes by praying in the Holy Ghost. It didn't say that. It said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The only way faith comes is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God and hearing it. Faith doesn't come by praying in the Holy Ghost. But you can edify and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Does that make sense to everybody? I'll make sure these are simple things, but sometimes people think things that aren't correct. And of course, 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, we are the temple of the living God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And of course, we mentioned 1 John 4:4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Is he talking about? He's talking about the evil spirits that are in this world. It says, for because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, you don't need to be afraid of demons or devils. You don't need to be afraid of anything in this earth. Because he said, you've overcome them and have overcome them. Who overcame them? Jesus did. So the one that overcame them lives on the inside of you. And he's greater. So we looked at some scriptures in the book of Acts. We looked at what salvation, how that is referenced in the book of Acts. And also in 1 John 5:11, it says, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's 1 John 5:11. So we're talking about how eternal life or salvation or the born-again experience is referenced in the Bible. It talks about in Acts 26, it's referred to as the forgiveness of sins. And also in John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So we looked at that, and then the difference between receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving his Spirit to indwell us, and that initial experience of being born again, receiving eternal life, forgiveness of sins. But then in the book of Acts, it talks about people receiving the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, or baptized in the Holy Ghost, or receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, all the same thing. So it's those terms, receiving the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, or receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, all come after you're born again. One cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost without receiving eternal life. And the scripture says you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. So Brother Hagin in his books said in his experience, he has experienced this when he was alive, that those that weren't born again, that seeked being filled with the Holy Ghost, exposed themselves to demon spirits. And he said in his lifetime, he saw people that would speak in something that sounded like other tongues, but it was not. And they were not born again. So they exposed themselves to demon spirits, and it caused that kind of thing in their life. And so how does one deal with that? How does one determine whether it's legitimate or not? How does one determine? Well, the scripture tells us that. Let's turn over there for a moment to 1 John 4, and you can look at how to deal with these kind of things in life. You know, the scripture's right there. It'll tell you. 1 John 4, and turn over there. If you're ever faced with something that you don't know, I did one time when I was first born again. I was on the phone. I was doing prayer counseling, and I shared this last week. This man called for prayer, and the first thing, he sounded like he was inebriated. You know what I mean? He sounded so drunk he could hardly talk. That's how he sounded on the phone. And he, you know, in that slurred voice, he said, "I need everybody in the Christian Broadcasting Network to pray for me." And down inside me, I heard, "No, he doesn't. He needs one believer who believes God to pray with him." And that's what I told him. And then instantly, he started to talk normal. And I immediately thought, this is a prank call. This is a joke. And he talked for a little bit, just like I'm talking right now, and then switched back again. And he sounded just totally slurred. And I kept thinking, this is a prank. But as I was talking with him and listening, I heard right down on the inside. This is why I say, you know, if you're a new Christian, you should be able to hear the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just a baby Christian. And I heard down here, "Ask him to say the name of Jesus." That's what I heard. And I thought, okay. Let me try this out. And that's what I did. I said, "Sir, could you say Jesus?" And this is what he did. He couldn't say it. And then I heard, "Ask him to say the name of Jesus." And this is what he did. No, I'm sorry. I asked him to say the blood of Jesus. Excuse me. I asked him to say the name of Jesus, and then I asked him to say the blood of Jesus. And he said, he couldn't say blood. And so I knew immediately this was demon related. And so here's the thing. It tells you right here in Scripture. I didn't even notice Scripture. I just heard what the Holy Ghost said. You know, people who say, "Well, the Holy Ghost told me." And you can go open up the scripture and tell them, no, he didn't. He didn't tell you that. That's foolishness. And this right here in 1 John 4, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but do what? Try the spirits whether they of God. So if you're not sure whether this is of God, here it is right here. This is what you do. It says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. You ask them to say the name of Jesus, if they can't say it, it's not of God. So if you hear a person that says, I'm speaking in tongues and it don't sound right, or something doesn't sit right with you, you ask them to say the name of Jesus. Because if they're of God, they'll be able to say it, you see. And what else does it say? And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Well, there's your answer. See, the Bible's simple. And the solutions are simple. And so, that's why I said, the requirement for being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is that you must be born again. You must have eternal life residing in you. You must have the Holy Spirit residing in you. That's how that is, you see. So I'm not going to spend time, but you can look up Acts chapter 8 and the chapter 8 is the story of Philip, and where Peter and John, once they heard the news in Jerusalem, they sent them down. And chapter 8 and verse 17, and it says, when Peter and John, this is when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. That's what that is referred to. In Acts 2:4, this is the day of Pentecost, and it says, then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 4, this is with Peter, and Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So that term, filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 1, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is another way it's referred to, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let me jump ahead here. And we talked about the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues. And I referred to here that in the book of Acts, there's five instances that are recorded that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see it on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We see where Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. And we looked at Paul of Tarsus, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 10 is Cornelius and his household. And also in Acts chapter 19, which is Paul preaching to the disciples at Ephesus. So those instances are references of in the book of Acts of being filled or baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, a few of those instances, it does not specifically say that they spoke with other tongues, but you can refer to in other situations, like for instance, with Saul, it doesn't say he spoke with other tongues in that reference. But we know in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So he had to have spoken in other tongues. So anyways, let's take a look here. So the first value. We're talking about what's the value today of speaking in other tongues. Well, the first value was that it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's the second value. And let's turn over there, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at this today. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. This would be considered the second value of speaking in other tongues. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but who? Unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit," I want you to keep an eye on that, "in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Let me read some of the other translations. The Moffat's translation said, he is talking of divine secrets in the Spirit. The Authentic Bible said he is speaking mysterious things in spirit language. Another translation said, "In the Spirit he utters secret truths." The plain English translation said, "He is speaking heavenly secrets in the Spirit." So when we speak in other tongues, this in the King James said, we're speaking mysteries, but in another way, it's just divine secrets. God has given us a divine language that we can talk to him heart to heart. You know, I like to think of things like this. You know, when we talk to God from our heart to him, the devil can't, number one, it says he don't understand. It's divine secrets or divine mysteries. Think about things in the natural today. Think about a computer. It can't be hacked. So the devil can't hack that. He has no inside information to what I'm saying. It's an encrypted conversation. It's encrypted. If you just talk about it in today's language, it's foreign to him. He does not understand this communication, this private divine language, this divine communication that I have with God is private. It's secure. And no one can understand it but God and his Spirit, because he knows the heart of God. And it says when we don't know how we ought to pray, he helps us. Who? The Holy Ghost. So he knows the heart of God. So here's the wonderful thing when you think about it. The Spirit of God, who's come to help us, he knows protocol. He knows what's the heart of God. And he does what? He's helping us to pray God's perfect will here in this earth. So that's why we got an advantage. See, and that's when it says, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, right? He said, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, he helps us. In Romans, why don't we jump over there, Romans 8:26, and let's take a look at that. I'll tell you, you know, sometimes you have to just feel sorry for the devil, because he's been stripped of all his power. All he has going for him is deception. Now, it doesn't mean he's not powerful. He does have power. But he has deception, and that's about it. The keys of hell and death were stripped from him. Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," or you could say weaknesses or limitations, And it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, let me stop here and say something. That doesn't say we don't know how to pray. It doesn't say that. It says we don't know how to pray as what? We ought, which means we're limited. We don't really know things how we should pray for. We see what we know. And even things that we see, we don't know, right? But God knows everything. His Spirit knows the heart of God. His Spirit knows everything. And so he can help us pray in the Spirit for things that we don't even know. And that's the wonderful thing. And that's why it says in our weaknesses or our limitations, we don't know how to pray as we ought. See? And some of them, some translations, it says, we also have the Spirit who compensates for our inadequacies. Or it says here, what is the right way to pray? See, that's another way you could say that. So he helps us in that manner. And then it continues, it says, but the Spirit, in the King James itself, is really himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's not doing the praying, he's helping us. We have to open our mouth and pray. And he energizes, he assists, he prays through us. Amen. But it's still us praying, it's our spirit that's praying. So what we were saying back in 1 Corinthians, let's jump back there, 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says that we speak, what does it say? When we speak in an unknown tongue, we speak not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So it's in the Spirit, in other tongues, we speak mysteries. So sometimes you'll hear people say, when you pray in the Spirit and you spend time praying in the Spirit, you can be praying out things that pertain to your life. You could be praying out those things that God wants to accomplish in your life. You could be praying out things for other people. And I'll show you where that is. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look at, let's see here. Not, it's Ephesians chapter, hold on a second. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. When we pray in the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 18. So we saw here, when it said here, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit. Okay? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's how you can pray for all saints. In the Spirit, you see. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God. How could you possibly pray for all saints in your known English language? How could you? You don't know all saints, and you don't know everything about all saints. So by praying in the Spirit, we can pray the perfect will of God, and we can pray for all saints. See, that's why I say it's important as we're praying and we keep that stirred up and we pray. I mean, we're praying for other people. Amen? Brother Hagin talks about it. He said some of the most significant things that have happened to him in his life, moves of the Spirit, significant financial breakthroughs, significant things, either healings, financial breakthroughs, moves of the Spirit in his life have come out of times that he spent praying in the Spirit. So he energized, he built himself up, and he was in a position to be used. See, he was energized. His spirit was built up. And so sometimes we need to consider that we need to pray more in the Spirit. It positions us to be, as they say, ready to, I like to use it this way, ready to unload. unload some Holy Ghost power, you see. Amen? So, but you can see here, as it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's how we can do that. And that's how the Holy Ghost can help us in our, as it says, weaknesses, or another way to say it is our limitations. We're limited, but not in the Spirit, we're not. Because why? Greater is He that's in us. He's greater. And that means we can accomplish more in prayer in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We can accomplish more. So the Amplified, I like this. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning," listen to this, "because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." So something that's not obvious to us in the Spirit is not obvious to us, but to God it is. And it's a private, secure conversation that I'm having with the devil. You know, don't ever think, well, the devil understood. No, he didn't. Now, you talk a lot in English. You pray in English. He'll know what you're praying. You pray in the Holy Ghost. He don't know what you're praying. It's secure. Amen. And don't let the devil tell you that he knows, because he doesn't know. And the only thing he knows is what you say. As they say, you talk a lot, he'll know what you're thinking. Amen. So that's one. In other words, the second value is we're not speaking unto men, but unto God. And of course, we were sharing the third value is what we read in Jude 20. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And I always like to say, if your batteries run down, this tells you how to get charged up. Pray in the Spirit more. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We said before, praying in the Holy Ghost will not give you faith. You are built up in your most or on your most holy faith when you pray in the Spirit. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. And this kind of dovetails with Jude. You know, the Bible is very clear. So let's look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. And let's look at verses 14 through 16. And this, again, talks about being strengthened in the inner man. So verse 14 of chapter 3 in Ephesians, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit. This is really referring to the same thing. You're strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. And that strength, that being built up, is what it's talked about in Jude. Building yourself up, being strengthened in your inner man. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what this is saying here. You're strengthened by his Spirit in your inner man. How? Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, which is what Jude 20 said. Building yourselves up, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Amen. So that's the third. Now, here's another. Let's go back to Romans 8. Let's go back to that scripture again in verse 26, Romans 8, 26. And this particular value, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in other tongues, we could say is praying in line with God's perfect will. If you pray in the Spirit, you will pray the perfect will of God. You can't miss it. Because why? Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helpeth what? Our weaknesses or infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well, right there it tells you. Right? But the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he, listen, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, what? According to the will of God. So when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying according to the will of God. I can't miss it. See, we are limited. It doesn't mean that we don't pray in English, because if the Spirit of God reveals something, you pray that. But you're limited. You can't pray for all saints. You can't pray for all situations. Now, we can pray a general prayer, but I'm talking about specific things that God hones in on. You're going to need the Spirit's help. And he says right here in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So that's the other value of praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, is that we pray in line with God's perfect will. We can't miss it. Amen. Pray more in the Spirit. And Ephesians, let me just jump over here. Ephesians chapter 6. And right. And verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the things that we wrestle against. And as you go down, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And part of that is when you get down to what we read before in verse 18, praying always how? In the Spirit. So when we wrestle against these things, we may not know how to pray as we ought. But when we pray in the Spirit, God will go to battle for us and through us. Amen. Number five, another fifth benefit. Praying in tongues eliminates selfishness in prayer. So praying in other tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, it eliminates selfishness. Romans chapter 12, we're familiar with this particular scripture. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, but that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So praying in the Spirit will eliminate selfishness. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And let's look at verses 45 and 46. Acts chapter 10, and let's look at 45 and 46. And this is talking about Peter ministering to Cornelius' house. And starting in verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." See, now if you go back and you look at this, Peter preached to them and they received Christ, but then almost subsequently they received the Holy Ghost and were filled with the Holy Ghost. So it was almost at the same time. "And they of the circumcision," which what? "Believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." This is the other term that means being filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues. And that's what happened. See, you can see right in verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So when we speak in other tongues, another value of it is that we magnify God. When we speak in other tongues, we magnify God. Amen. So just to kind of recap here, the value of speaking in other tongues, one, it is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Number two, we're speaking not unto men, but unto God. And it's private. We're speaking mysteries. We have a supernatural divine language that we can communicate spirit to spirit. It's private. Jude 20, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We edify ourselves, praying in the Holy Spirit. And of course, we looked at Ephesians. We're strengthened by His Spirit in our inner man by praying in the Holy Spirit. Four, we're praying in line with God's perfect will when we pray in the Spirit. Five, praying in other tongues eliminates selfishness in prayer. And six, when we pray in the Spirit, we magnify God. We magnify Him. I tell you, to me, let me read this. Let me just jump back here for a moment. 1 Corinthians 14. And let's look at verse 4 for a second. So we looked at verse 2. But look at verse 4 in 1 Corinthians. Says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue," we're talking about speaking in other tongues, "edifieth" who? "Himself." This is what Jude says. Jude 20. Praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself. You edify himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. See. So praying in other tongues edifies yourself, not your neighbor, not your wife. "I'm going to pray for my wife today." Well, you're wasting your time. You're going to edify yourself. not somebody else. Now, you can pray for somebody else in other tongues, but you're not build, you're not edifying them. You're edifying yourself. See? This says here, if you're prophesying, then you're doing what? You're edifying the church. And if you go through and you read this, it will explain why Paul had to go and speak to the Corinthian church. They must have been speaking in tongues a lot because they were out of order. And everybody was speaking in tongues, and he had to come in and say, wait a minute, if you speak in other tongues, you're edifying yourself. But in the church, there's a need to be edified to understand. And so with everybody just speaking in other tongues without an interpretation, how are we edified? And so he gave some guidelines in that area, you see. So some will say, well, you know, here, you know, and I heard Brother Hagin say in this book that I'm reading, he shared how someone said, well, see, Paul said, you know, that you don't need to speak in tongues because he went down here and he said, you know, if I speak in it, you know, I'd rather speak five words in the church. And he said, well, see, he's saying we don't need to speak in other tongues. That isn't what he's saying. What he was saying was the Corinthian church was out of order. Everybody was speaking in other tongues and nobody was being edified. So they needed to speak in a language that they understood so everybody could be edified. But he said, hey, if you're going to speak in tongues, you'll edify yourself. See, now that does not mean, see, now this is another thing that Brother Hagin cleared up. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak in other tongues in the church. If everybody is speaking in other tongues at the same time worshiping God, that's okay. See, he said, now we're just going to be clear. But he's saying if there's a move of the Spirit and everybody's speaking in other tongues out loud while the minister's preaching, that's not okay. Who's being edified? Nobody. See, so it was just Paul, by the Holy Ghost, teaching them that there needed to be order in the church. It was out of order. See? Does that make sense to everybody? Praise the Lord. So anyways, but verse 14, I'm sorry, verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, let me just stop here. If someone speaks in other tongues and interprets, that's equivalent to prophecy. Okay. And that edifies. But it says here, the Amplified says that that one edifies and improves himself. I like that. You edify himself and improve himself. The Berkeley said, he who speaks in a tongue improves himself. Wow, I like to be improved, don't you? I like that. We improve ourselves. We all need a little bit of improvement. So how do you do that? Pray in the Holy Ghost. You get improved. If you don't like yourself today, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't like what you're seeing, improve yourself. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it'll stir up the presence of God within you. What happens with that? The nature of God is stirred up when we pray in the Holy Ghost. That means love is stirred up, selfishness is put down, the nature of God is more evident, his presence is more real to you when you pray in the Spirit, and his nature is more evident in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then let me just look here. In verse 14, another value here. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So we were sharing before Let me read some of these translations. It says, for if I make use of tongues in my prayers, my spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind. My spirit makes the prayer, not my mind, not my understanding. It's unfruitful, you see. The Good News Bible says, my spirit prays indeed, but my mind has no part in it. The New English Bible says, my intellect lies fallow. The New American Bible says, my spirit is at prayer, but my mind contributes nothing. See? My spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. I like some of these. This is the Jordan translation. It says, my mind is a blank. I like that. See, that's how we ought to pray in the Spirit. Your mind contributes nothing. It's a blank. See? The authentic translation said, my spirit is engaged in prayer, but my intellect is not functioning. Sometimes our intellect needs to shut down and be quiet, because we're always trying to figure something out. And we don't know it. We don't know enough. We are limited. The scripture already says that. We have a weakness. We're limited. As smart as you think you are, you're limited. The Phillips translation, my spirit is praying, but my mind is inactive. The Barclay, it says, it is my spirit which prays. My mind is producing nothing at all. Hallelujah. So we can see here that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray the perfect will of God, and our intellect doesn't get involved in the process. And so we're praying the perfect will of God, and we're offering up prayers and supplications for all saints in the Spirit. And all saints can include us. And that makes it good, because we're praying and we don't even know what we're praying for, because if we knew we were praying for ourselves, we might add a few things and be selfish. See? But God allows us to pray in the Spirit, not knowing. And of course, I'm sure there's times that God may reveal what it is you're praying for. But praise the Lord. So that kind of wraps that up. Those are just a few things. There's others, but those six little nuggets help us and reveal to us what the value of praying in the Spirit is. We can get more accomplished for God praying in the Spirit. Doesn't mean we shouldn't pray in English, but we can accomplish more praying in the Spirit for all people. See, we pray in English, we're limited. But we can accomplish more praying in the Spirit, more in the body of Christ, more personally on our own level. I've heard Brother Hagin say this, that he said, when I spent time and seasons in prayer, he said, I realized I was praying out my own ministry, what God was going to do in and through me. I was praying that out, because it was a mystery even to me. See? So sometimes when we want to, you know, when we want to see, even in a church, we want to see things flourish, spend more time in prayer. God will begin to show, and through those prayers, He will pray out His perfect will for this church, this area. You'd be praying for other churches in this area. But praying in the Spirit, that's why I say it's so important that we pray in the Spirit when we come together. We're in agreement, praying for this church, praying for other churches, praying for other pastors, praying for the people, all saints, even in this area, praying for the lost in the Spirit. Where they go to church, that's God's business. He will lead them. But most importantly, you know, and I would say this, even, you know, at home when we have children, we have family members, and we're not understanding you know, things going on in our family and the dynamics that are going on, we're limited. Pray in the Spirit. Pray more in the Spirit for your husband. Pray more for your wife. Pray more for your children that God's perfect will is done in their lives. Pray in the Spirit more. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it has helped us, remind us, and most importantly, it waters the word that we've already received, but it adds to it, waters the ground of the seed that's in our hearts. And so, Father, we thank you that by this word we'll know more your what your will is. And Father, we commit this day to pray more in the Spirit that we can be built up and ready for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead. You have a question. Brother Ralph has a question.
When you want to pray in the Spirit for a specific purpose, do you announce that purpose before you pray? How does that work?
I guess you could. Because again, if that comes up in your thinking and you say, okay, so let's just say this. You could say, okay, I'm going to pray for Brother Ralph. I just have a heart, I have a leading to pray for somebody. But I don't know how to pray as I ought. But he helps me. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit. But I just have a heart, I just have a heart to pray for somebody. They're on my heart. But I don't know what to pray as I ought, but they're on my heart. So I'm just going to lift them up. Father, I'm going to lift up Brother Ralph. He's on my heart. I don't know how to pray as I ought. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's scriptural. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Right?
That's the perfect prayer for them.
Yeah, that's the perfect prayer for them. Absolutely. It's the will of God. Yeah. Praise God. I believe we can accomplish more for God by praying in the Spirit, you see. And we'll have less, I would say less, doesn't mean we won't be faced with issues. It doesn't mean we won't be faced with the God of this world and his cohorts, but they're already defeated. They've been stripped of their power, and as we pray in the Spirit, God will give us the wisdom on how to do that, how to address that. And think about it. The Word of God is called what? The sword. So when we pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God, as we pray, our spirit man is being edified. He'll give us a word, and that word is a sword to that situation. And so that's why we are in no way, we always need to approach a situation from a place of victory, because he already won. And the one who won lives on the inside. So we're not defeated. We're not overcome. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. So I approach every situation from a place of victory. And I'm walking through something, but I'm not defeated. The devil's defeated, not me. Amen. Praise God. Hope we got a little something out of that today. It's our spirit get edified. Amen. Praise the Lord.